Welcome to the Living Waters Church podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another Living Waters Church podcast. My name is Dave Soames, and I'm on the pastoral team and happy to be sharing with you today. We begin a new summer series called Love Your Neighbor. Certainly, Jesus' life demonstrates just how much love there is in God and how that love ends up in the lives of our neighbors. That's a beautiful thought. This summer, we will consider Jesus' invitation to love and to be loved by our neighbor through our good attitude and actions that involve joining, praying, sharing, listening, and caring. As a ministry team, we feel these are timely conversations, certainly in light of all the current events and concerns we have in our hearts. Allow me to read from our text today from James chapter 5, verses 7 to 12, New Living Translation. Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient, for take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door. For examples of patience and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. He can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end. For the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. Verse 12, but most of all, my brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else. Just say simple yes or no, so that you will not sin and be condemned. We begin our series, Love Your Neighbor. One of my favorite Sesame Street songs and segments of the show as a kid was, Who Are the People in Your Neighborhood? Remember singing that? Who are the people in your neighborhood? Well, for me, Mr. Doherty was a person in my neighborhood growing up, right next door. Our family caught up to him in his senior years. We didn't think of him as someone who had ever married. He never left his house. He never entertained. And I actually, as a young guy, I don't ever remember actually seeing him. And it was because of all those peculiarities that a lot of stories and a lot of legends were communicated on the street amongst us kids. Certainly all the teenagers on the street shared all kinds of stories. One particular I remember was that we were told as young children that Mr. Doherty had three eyes. I remember trying to figure that one out as a young kid. I didn't know if I should believe that or not. All I did know is about him was that any soccer ball that went over the fence created all kinds of concerns. He was our neighbor. Well, my parents reached out to him. As they did, they had quite a large reach within our neighborhood. And just prior to Mr. Doherty's death, he asked to see my dad. And to our surprise, he told us he was bequeathing his house to my family. A little bit of money to the brother, the house was coming our way. The last will and testament had already been signed. Wow. What a surprise. After Mr. Doherty's death, we moved next door. That's crazy. Unusual story with an absolutely unusual blessing. As I reflect back on the people in my neighborhood, I suppose at the end of the day, Mr. Doherty gave us more than we ever gave to him. And perhaps maybe this could be said of all neighbors, if we allowed it. For neighbor and neighboring is as much about receiving as it is about giving. And this certainly helps us perhaps understand a little more about what James is talking about when he talks further about being a loving neighbor. So allow me to perhaps, as we begin this series, lay down maybe a little bit of a unique perspective about loving your neighbor and using some of this good wisdom from James. In these verses, amongst all that he says, he shares two big ideas. And these big ideas are waiting and what to do while you wait. Specifically in verse 7, as I just read, James says, "Be patient as you wait for the Lord's return." Perhaps this would seem like James is taking a huge pivot away from the topics that we've been discussing. If you've been with us the last number of weeks, James has been talking very directly and practically about responsible living on earth, about money, about stewardship, humility, appropriate speech, appropriate silence. And he's been up close and personal, pushing hard so that we understand the heart of the gospel. So why would James, near the end of this good letter, bring up heaven? Why would he be talking now about the return of the Lord when James seems so concerned about how things are going on earth? Well, to answer that, I think James is doing what many passages in the Bible do, including the book of Revelation, getting us looking ahead so we can have a better perspective on where we are now. Let me illustrate. In Revelation 5, the writer pulls the curtain back on a neighborhood of people that comes together when Jesus returns. And by doing so, we are being asked to compare where we are now and comparing that to what God's picture of neighbor and neighborhood is all about in the future. Again, let me illustrate. Revelation 5, verse 9 says this, and they, this new neighborhood, sang a new song with these words, "Your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." See, hear this? James is asking the reader to look ahead. Again, from where we are now to where we, the human race, is headed. And again, consider the details. A new song, new words coming forth from this new neighborhood. People from every tribe and language and people group, every nation. And again, this is not the setting of a World Cup soccer game. This is a new neighborhood, united in song and word and equality. A new neighbor, a new neighborhood. And again, what a picture for you and I to have in our mind. This picture of this preferred future. Certainly a picture to carry in our hearts. For we see from Scripture, this is what God carries in His mind and heart for all people. So how important for a Christian and a community to have in our minds as we discuss current events and concerns. For the return of the Lord will change everything. The return of Christ will instantly enlarge our view of who our neighbor was and is. For we will instantly be found in relationships of equality, of honor, no more racism, no sexism, no prejudice, no extra privilege for some. The return of the Lord. Wow. Think about it. This will be the fulfillment of the gospel that we teach and continue to allow to change our lives. So let's not wait for the return of the Lord to appreciate the gospel. Verse 10, chapter 5, Revelation says, "And you have caused them," again, this is this new neighborhood, "to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on earth." Again, the details. God causing them to become. The Bible speaks of how God will construct something that doesn't presently exist. For when Christ comes, at that very moment, all that presently divides us will be suspended forever, and we will become a neighborhood, a kingdom that only Jesus can make, a new neighborhood. This new kingdom will be one of equality, race, income, and opportunity, security, redemption. This new neighborhood will house, and friends, just picture this today, the American Indian, the Asian, the Black and African American, the Hispanic or Latino, the Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander, the white person. Imagine the sights, the sounds, the richness of all that we have similar, and in some ways all that we have that is different, but yet uniting to become a kingdom of priests for our God. God will cause them to become a kingdom, establishing a theocracy, all people subject to the rule of Christ, becoming a kingdom of priests to God, having shared responsibilities of offering sacrifices, busy with sacred rites and activity. And it says, and we shall reign on the earth. We shall reign, not me. We shall reign on earth, victorious over sin, corruption, selfishness, pride, and Satan. So friends, when you watch the local and global news, when you meet with your neighbor and hear about racial and social inequality, allow the hope of a new kingdom and a new neighborhood to rise in your heart. It will not always be the way it is today. Allow for a stirring. Allow a longing for the gospel to grow up in your heart and in the hearts of all the people of the world. For when our humanity fails us and we fall short and we don't know where to look or who to look to, we hear the invitation of the gospel. I see and hear Jesus say, come on, come my way. I will lead you in a good direction. You don't have to turn back, turn away, turn on each other, or give up. Just keep coming. Come my way. Move along on this better way that leads all of you to Jesus and to each other. Wow, I appreciate so much the continual way so many within Living Waters Church continue to turn towards each other and turn towards the needs of in people's lives rather than pretending those needs don't exist. So many are allowing themselves to become accountable to the purpose of the gospel, which is reconciliation. This is why I love Living Waters Church. I love the conversation. I love the helping hand. I love the advocacy and the social justice concern. I love the value that we place on local and global work. Have we arrived? No. Maybe we're gracefully heading in a good direction. I was touched on Canada Day, July 1st, seeing so many families drop food off, seeing a van pull up with all kinds of fresh bread, seeing one of our council members carrying a box of diapers. This is the neighborly way, people helping people. I was reminded of Luke Dandurant from Kwantlen First Nation, his answer to the question, how do neighbors become friends? He said, by helping each other, the neighborly way. So here James says, while you wait for the return of the Lord, he says, do a couple things. Don't grumble. And let your yes be yes and your no, no. Let's just look at that. He said, don't grumble. Consider James' choice of words, grumbling. You may recall in James chapter 3, he encourages us to get our words right. So James is not repeating himself here in chapter 5. He's not talking about our words. He's talking about the word grumble, which speaks about attitude. Putting a name on our internal and maybe unexpressed thoughts, opinions, judgments, and biases, our attitude. And again, while these may not be outspoken, they're real. And they are what makes the matters of the heart what they are. And our attitudes exist, and they do matter. So James is saying that how we respond to our neighbors will be tested all the time, and our attitude, not just our words, but our attitude towards our neighbor matters. And because of things we do or don't do, the attitude of others about us matters. Positive witness and influence will be very limited if others are grumbling about us. We have some work to do. The heart or a bad attitude can be a playground for all kinds of evil. So we need to guard our heart and pray that the attitude of Christ may be in us and others. For long before there's a harsh word or action, there's a bad attitude and even the hardening of a heart. So James says, hey, don't grumble. The judge is standing at the door. Wow. God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. As much as he hears our words, he sees our attitudes, our grumblings. Friends, God is watching, not from a distance. He's up close and personal. He's actually our neighbor. And wants us to know the richness and fullness of the neighborly way. He's our neighbor. Secondly, James says, let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. I've heard it said, actions prove who someone is. Words describe who someone wants to be. So if you say yes to your neighbor, then love your neighbor. Demonstrate that love, for love is an action. It's not a nice idea. And if your attitudes and actions are saying no to your neighbor, admit it. For if there is no action, there is no neighborly way. We need to admit it. How good it is to be in a place to be able to have good dialogue. I want to encourage you today as we move along in this Love Your Neighbor series to open up your heart with great expectation for Jesus, the best neighbor of all, wants to meet us and help us for his glory and for our good benefit. Let's pray. God, today, how beautiful it is to talk about friendship and neighboring with you close by our side. Thank you that we don't have to look too far to know you, to experience you, to feel you, and to be able to find that good example that you are. Lord, we thank you for the invitation we have to consider your return. Prepare us for your return. And while we wait, help us not to grumble, and help us to make our yeses, yeses, and to admit what our noes are. Thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for the opportunities that will be afforded to us today and even this coming week to choose to be a follower of you and ultimately a good neighbor. In Jesus' name, amen.